Then the 1995, it's a while ago, but 1995 college football season, 6'2", 280-pound Clay Shiver played center for the Florida State Seminoles. He was one of the best. Actually, most believe he was the best center in the nation at that time. And in fact, one magazine wanted to name him to their preseason All-American team. But there was a problem for him, and that is this magazine was Playboy. And Clay Shiver was a dedicated Christian. Now, Shiver and the team chaplain suspected that Playboy would probably select him as the best center in the nation, and so he had kind of time to prepare his response. Now, he knew that this would be a boost to his career. He was getting ready to go into the pros. Basically, be called a Playboy All-American, basically, that was by all the sports writers. And this was certainly a boost that would go for, you know, kind of where he'd be drafted, certainly for his aspiration to be a professional football player, and of course, you know, the higher you are picked, the more money that you make, literally millions of dollars. But for Clay, he had higher priorities, he had a higher value, he had what many would call integrity. And so when he was informed by Playboy that he indeed had been selected as an All-American, Clay Shiver simply said, "No, thank you. Please don't put me in your magazine." Clay said that he didn't want to embarrass. He didn't want to bring embarrassment to his family, to his mom, to his grandmother. But as much as he said, "I didn't want my friends from high school, and certainly not my teammates and friends from college, to go and buy that magazine for any account of me." Quote from him, he said, "I don't want to let anyone down. And on the top of that list, number one on that list, is God." Now, Clay, as you can imagine, was put down by this decision, by many, even by some Christians who saw it as harmless. It was just an award, while others saw his fight for integrity and applauded him. It's interesting, this word integrity. It's a word that we hear a lot of, probably. This word, shortened, it's the word integer, which is actually a mathematical term. It is a whole number. It means there's no fractions. It is whole. It's complete. The Latin word for integrity means whole, complete. Now, integrity seems to have kind of taken a hit these days, especially thanks to how much we interact with social media and with technology. It's not easy for most people, and really, to keep our character healthy, to keep our heart pure when we are on social media, when we're on technology. Especially when there's hundreds, if not literally thousands, of temptations literally a click away. Whether that be on your phone, your computer, your tablet, your TV, and so on. As we're going to see this morning, as followers of Jesus, we are in for a fight for integrity in our culture. We're in a fight for our integrity. Look with me at Proverbs 11, 3 through 6. It says, it's on the screen here. It says, "The integrity," that's going to be on the screen, there we go. "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless makes a path, a straight path for them, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness." The righteousness, or some verses say, the integrity of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. I believe that integrity is important. Proverbs and many other passages talk about the importance of integrity. Actually, throughout the scriptures, you often see kind of a synonym of integrity and righteousness. Doing what is right, right? Doing what is right. Some say that your character, your integrity is seen when you do something that no one else sees. I think as C.S. Lewis says, true integrity is what you do when no one is looking. Now, I think that's true. And so if that's true, it's probably true for all of us. Therein, we probably agree it's easier to do the right thing when someone is watching, right? Wouldn't you agree if you're with someone else? I do. You know, when my wife's with me, it's a lot easier to do the right thing than when I'm by myself. Or, you know, when I'm hanging out with my friends, it's a lot easier to do what is right than when I'm by myself. And therein lies, quite honestly, one of the biggest challenges that we face within social media technology, whether, again, on your phone or on your tablet, your computer, wherever it may be. For many, technology, as we can see and hear now, can distract us, right? But we can be attacked. Our integrity can be attacked, and especially in this area of sexuality. You see, we are in a fight for sexual purity in a technological and social media age, okay? And as I've mentioned throughout this series, I am not against social media, I'm not against technology. Just go to my house, you'll see all kinds of technology, you know? But here's the key. How do we use it? That's what we've been looking at. It's not the only way that social media and technology can tempt us, but it is the most prevalent, okay? And that's what we're talking about. It is the most prevalent temptation. Matter of fact, next week we're going to look at some other issues that are pretty prevalent. The area of speech, or maybe writing, for instance, on the internet, of how we talk about people, what we say about people when we're not with them. But we'll look at that next week. But this fight for integrity in the area of sexual purity is often a battle that many of us lose, okay? Now, we don't let people know that we lose. We don't want anybody to know that we're losing. But the reality is that many of us lose this battle. And quite honestly, the biggest battle and loss online is in the area of pornography. You know, when I was a teenager, and this is a number of years ago, obviously, you know, to find pornography, you had to find a magazine. And usually you found that where your dad was hiding it, or your best friend had somebody, had a friend that found it, or something like that, and that's how you got it, maybe, you know, if you were lucky, you know, as a boy, you thought. But nowadays, right, think about it. Nowadays, it is literally a click away. It's literally in your pocket. I put my phone back there, but it's usually in my pocket. It can be literally just a click away. It's free for almost anyone, no matter their age. Let me share a couple statistics, some things that you probably know, maybe you don't, but 1 in 2 men will look at pornography on an average day. While 70% of young men, 18 to 24, will view some kind of pornography in a month. And it's not just men anymore. 1 in 3 women are users of pornography. But here's the shocking thing. The highest percentage of people who are viewing some kind of pornography are kids ages 12 to 17. Okay? And many times it's not necessarily by their choice, first of all, but it's things that are just there for the taking. And here's the crazy thing. As we've looked at, actually those percentages I mentioned, they're pretty much the same for those who go to church and for those who don't. Now, there's a little bit of difference, but unfortunately, it's pretty much the same. We're talking about just church, okay, in general. The people who go to church statistics are pretty much the same. And it's not just viewing it. Here's maybe a shocking, but maybe not so shocking, truth. 1 in 5 teenage girls, this is a recent survey, say they have posted nude or posted partial nude pictures of themselves or sent them through their phone to a friend or to someone. 1 in 5, 20%. I think it's growing. And here's something you need to know. It's not just those other people out there. It's not just those people who live in the city, okay? It's not just those people who are poor. It's not just those people who don't go to church. This is everyone. Matter of fact, over the last number of years, right here in our North Marion area, just from the little bit I know, I've seen this impact people, impact kids in our community and even in our own church who were either victims of that or were a part of it. So if you're ignorant about this, if you say, well, I really don't want to talk about this, I don't think we should talk about this in church, it's time to wake up, okay? And especially for those of us who have children of any age. But it's not just pornography, okay? There's also many other temptations out there of sociology and technology in this area, and one of them is the area of what we might call inappropriate relationships. This has been a huge thing. In the last 10 years, we found that connecting or reconnecting with new friends or old friends or old friends through social media is a massive source of temptation for many people. Matter of fact, I had some close friends in the last number of years who this happened to. Now, the wife, through Facebook, found and became friends again with an old boyfriend from high school. And ultimately left her husband. Now, there was a lot more going on in the marriage. I'm not just blaming the wife in any way. There was a lot. But this temptation, this hidden relationship that she had for a number of years was too much of a temptation for her when things were going bad in her own marriage. And that's in the church. This is a Christian family, okay? Now, we can't blame Facebook. We can't blame other social medias for all this, okay? Let's not say, oh, social media is all bad. No. I mean, Facebook, Instagram, they don't make people cheat on their spouse, right? We choose to that. The internet doesn't make us look at pornography, but they do give us access to lots of opportunities, especially when there's no accountability. Today in our culture, we are in a fight for integrity. We have a battle for wholeness. Remember, that's what integrity means, wholeness. Now, many have said, even some in the church would say, isn't looking at pornography or having an online relationship better than actually going out and having an affair or having sex with someone? Isn't that better? Shouldn't you just, you know? The answer is ultimately no. Because sin is sin, as we're going to see here. Now, there are larger consequences, okay? There are larger consequences when you act on those things. But there's sin. What used to be considered wrong is now generally, if not mostly, accepted. Matter of fact, even among Christians, many, I think it's almost up to like 40-50% say pornography is okay. It doesn't hurt anybody. But God has a better plan and a desire for us. Look at Ephesians 5:3. Ephesians 5:3, it says this. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. Not even a hint, he says. Not even a hint of sexual, that's pretty much impossible in our culture, wouldn't you say? But now I want you, if you have a Bible, turn to your own Bible to Matthew 5. It'll be on the screen, but if you have your own Bible, turn to Matthew 5. We're going to spend a couple minutes there. Verses 27 to 30. Matthew 5. 27 to 30. This is Jesus' words talking. He says, you have heard that it is said, do not commit adultery. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Of course they heard it. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. What? It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown to hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. We're going to look at this in a minute, but that's kind of some crazy words, don't you think? But what I think Jesus is saying here is that integrity needs to start in the heart. It's a question of our heart. And we need to not deny the fact that this has seeped into the church. And not just recently, it's been around. It's been around since Jesus' day. It's been around since the beginning, okay? It's something that has always been an issue. It's always been a temptation. But now we have it so much wider access to it in our technology, in our social media. Think about advertising. All you gotta do is just think about just regular TV. I'm not even talking about cable TV or, you know, whatever, HBO. I'm sorry, regular TV. Just watch the commercials, right? Watch the commercials, and how many of them are so much about sexuality or sensuality? All you gotta do, you know, we're gonna watch the Super Bowl. Many of you are gonna watch the Super Bowl. I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, keep track, but I mean, you're gonna see that. The halftime show, I can already guarantee you that's pretty much what it's all about. Because I've seen previews of it. You have too, probably. But it's so much a part of our society, it's pretty much acceptable. So how does one live with sexual integrity in our time? Is it possible? Jesus was dealing with this issue, and there were those who were a part of his time, and actually he's talking to religious people here. He's talking to those who, well, we'd say go to church, or who were a part of God's chosen. They were actually religious leaders, many of them. And they had what we might call a traditional standard of sexual purity. Okay? They believed in the Ten Commandments. It was simple and direct. Do not have sex before marriage, and do not commit adultery or have sex outside of marriage. There it is. Cut and clear, right? As long as I do that, I'm good. That's what they thought. Sounds biblical, right? Certainly it was part of the Ten Commandments. Don't commit adultery. But they may have missed some of it here. Jesus, who, by the way, gave the Ten Commandments, right? He's God. Jesus gave these Ten Commandments. He says, you know what? That's good. Yeah, you're right, but it's not whole. It's not complete. See, you can refrain from sex with another person, but still not be whole. Your heart is still maybe, probably, not in the right place. See, Jesus knows that holiness, wholeness, integrity starts with the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And so we see here Jesus' radical standard of sexual purity, right? We can refrain from the sexual act, but still sin in our heart, in our mind, in our imagination. Jesus later said in Matthew 15, 19, he says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Thoughts of murder, adultery, sexual immorality. And so Jesus uses some very radical language, some pretty radical thoughts here to get our attention, right? To show, to help us understand the importance of integrity and wholeness in our lives in this area of sexual purity. He wants us to look at our hearts. He wants us to think about our minds and our imaginations. He wants us to grapple with how we're allowing and what we're allowing our hearts, our minds, our imaginations to dwell upon. Now, every single one of us, I think I can say this, and if it's not you, then, well, you're blessed. But I can say that I think pretty much every single one of us has gone down that path where we have had lustful thoughts, where we have allowed our imagination to go to places where we knew was not appropriate, okay? Go where it shouldn't go. And that's why Jesus is saying this. Even those who are the religious leaders, mean, Pastor Jim? Pastor Jim has bad thoughts? Yeah, Pastor Jim right here, this. No, this Pastor Jim. This Pastor Jim right here, yes, has those thoughts. And it's a fight for integrity, okay? This is a battle that's a battle as a part of our culture and social media that bombards us, and I can say that bombards us with temptations to break our vows to our spouse of honoring and cherishing and having them to only to them, right? As well as it bombards us with the temptation to break our vow, our commitment to God, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's serious stuff. The author of a book I just finished reading called Beyond the Battle, he says this. He's talking about this passage here from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus wasn't messing around when he told us to cut off our hands and gouge out our eyes if they're causing us to sin sexually. Now, while I don't think he's being literal, he is underlining the incredible urgency of doing whatever is necessary to stay sexually pure. He sets up drastic examples, gouging our eyes, cutting off our hands, so that we can compare these steps with the actual sacrifices that we are called on to make today. Is Jesus saying, go and cut your hand off if you sin, or your eye out if you look? I don't think so, because you still got another eye. And even when both those eyes are gone, you still got your imagination in your mind, right? So I don't think he was saying that, but he's saying there's something radical that has to happen in your life. So here, let me give you, maybe these are just my personal thoughts and thoughts ever. Let me give you some ideas of maybe something radical that Jesus might be calling some of us to do. Will you miss out on some gripping entertainment if you don't watch the latest racy HBO series? Yes. Will you miss out on all the talk of the greatest movies, maybe something that won Oscars, or that latest Hollywood blockbuster that's full of nudity? Yes. Maybe you have to cut that out. Will you miss out on playing on your favorite video games? Because even though most of it's great, there's a bunch of part that you know is just not okay. Yes. Will you have to maybe delete some apps? Some apps that are maybe perfectly fine on your spouse's phone or on your friend's phone, but for you, they lead you down a path and has done it too many times. You realize, I've done that too many times. I need to delete that app. Yes. For each one of us, it may look different, but are these sacrifices? Yeah. But are they sacrifices anywhere near to cutting off your hand or gouging out your eye? No. And yet, that's how serious Jesus wants us to take it. Jesus is telling us that anything that stands between us and him, between our lives and purity, needs to be cut off, thrown away, gotten rid of. So in very practical terms, I believe each of us needs to set limits. This is something that's as a part, it's kind of maybe new to our culture in the last 30 years. We need to set limits on what we access with technology and with social media as believers. If you and I want to live in a way that honors Jesus, say that I'm a follower of Jesus, if you want to follow him in this sexually saturated world, then you have to put limits on what you're going to allow yourself to see. We have to be different. Even way back with Clay Shriver, just on a simple thing, right? You have to fight for integrity. So to follow Christ with integrity, we have to use our social media, our technology, wisely. We have to use it wisely. Be deliberate in protecting our hearts, our minds, our imaginations, our soul. A number of years ago, a revival broke out among a number of Christian college campuses across America. And actually, I remember when this was happening, I actually had some students that were involved in that, shared some stories. One characteristic about this revival was God working in students' life, dealing with sinful habits in their lives that they let linger in their lives. And one student, his name is Brian, he went to Asbury College. He shared his story. He said, I was a leader, a Christian leader on campus, and we invited students from Wheaton College to come and to share what God was doing at their college. And at first, I was just praying for everybody else. I was praying for my friends and others, but then God got a hold of my heart, and I began to realize my own struggles. And I stood in line for 3 hours. Actually, people were coming and sharing testimonies. He said, I stood in line for 3 hours with a man of my friends thinking, okay, how can I get up here and admit what I've been doing? Admit that I'm less than perfect. But he says, I realized that being on a Christian campus is not protection from the world. I had really struggled with lust. I found I wasn't alone. It was an issue for a lot of others, I found out. And I wanted that stuff out of my life. If it meant no more magazines, not necessarily the pornographic ones, but just the ones that tempted me, if it meant no more television and these certain shows, I was willing to eliminate them. Matter of fact, a number of us signed a paper stating our desire for purity, which we put in a box and brought to an altar in front of the church one day. I'm accountable to other people now. My deepest desire is to be pure in my heart and my thoughts. And this was a college student a few years ago. That was for him. Where are you weak? This is personal, okay? This isn't about somebody else. Where are you weak and vulnerable? Only you know. Here's another question. As parents, how will you protect your children, your teens, from all the traps and temptations that are out there? Because don't be naive and think, well, my kid is not like them, okay? You can grow up in the church, you can be a Christian, and these things can still grab a hold of you. As I said earlier, it's a fight for integrity in this area of sexual purity, and it means setting some limits, setting some boundaries, to protect yourself, but also to protect others when it comes to these areas of technology. I'm just going to share a couple of ideas, that some personal things as well as some things that I've read. There's a lot of other great tools out there. If you want some of them, I can let you know. But you can see here some different opportunities, some different things you can use. One of them is an app. You can have an app on your phone, your computer, your tablet that basically is a filter. The one I've been using is called Covenant Eyes. And there's others out there that are great. It basically, if I try to go on something that certainly is explicit, it will block it. But then there's even others that are maybe, you know, we're not sure, and they kind of say, you really want to go there? Not only that, but then I have two accountability partners that see whatever different things I go on to. How about your TV? You know there's filters on your TV? Unless you have like a TV that's back in, you know, the 1980s, which you might, but you probably don't get cable then. I don't know. But, you know, there's those filters. You can go and you can say, I don't like these channels, or anything above PG-13 or whatever. You have to have a code. My wife has a code. Okay, when we had kids, when Derek and I and the kids were in there, you know, she's the only one that could place that code in there for us if we wanted to watch a movie that happened to be rated R, because, you know, maybe it was usually some of those war movies that Derek and I like to watch, you know. But there's that accountability. There's another interesting, vidangel.com. Might check that out. Where if you say, I really want to watch this movie, but it's got some things I really don't want to see, if you have that on your TV, it will block, or I don't know how exactly it does it, but I guess it does it pretty well. It'll block the language, and certainly some of the scenes, it cuts out. Anyway, how about video games? Video games are huge, right? Huge! Especially among our younger generation, but even some of us are older. So Do you monitor that? Do you have somebody you're accountable to? Maybe you have somebody you game with, another Christian. Be accountable to that. Again, maybe there's certain apps that lead you down temptation, and for somebody else, it may be perfectly good. You know, maybe it's just a news thing. Maybe it's like Fox News or something like that, or CNN News. But they always have those commercials. You know, there's little advertisement that, you know, the sexually explicit one that has the, you know, the one you know you shouldn't go down, but all you gotta do is click it. And if you don't have like covenant eyes, you're not meaning to do it, but all of a sudden you're down a path that you wish you weren't. Maybe if you've gone down that path too many times, you gotta just delete it. Okay? Again, that's between you and God. There's a lot of great books. I just mentioned the one I just finished reading, Beyond the Battle, Identity in Christ in an Oversexualized World. It's a great men, a book for men. It's a men's book. There's other books for men and women. These are just a few of the tools to help fight for integrity. Let me talk to the women just for a moment here. For our moms, for our wives, some of you may think, this is kind of overkill. Like, this isn't a big deal for me. And if it isn't, that's great. Praise God. You should really thank God. But you know what? For your husband, for the sake of your husband, for the sake of your children, we need to take this seriously. To help your children and your husband. We all need help. We all need support and prayers. It's a battle. When Jesus cut off your hand, I got you. It's serious, okay? But even with all these tools, even with all this, it's still not enough. It's still not enough. I found it in my own life. It's not enough. The truth and reality is the only way to integrity, to wholeness, is through Jesus. It is. It's to be whole in Christ. To be able to experience integrity in all areas of our life, including sexual purity, we need to remember whose and who we are. Okay? What do I mean? Well, look at Romans 8, 14 to 16. It says this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit you received, brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, which is like daddy, father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, shows us the kind of relationship that we can have with God. God, who is our holy and loving Father, that we are his children. Listen to what the Apostle John wrote. You're familiar with it in John chapter 1, verse 12. He said, this is the kind of relationship you can have with God. John 1, 12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. We can become a child of God. As you read in Romans 8, 15, it says we're adopted. You see, you're not a child of God because you were born into a Christian family. Okay? Or because you go to church. You're a child of God through adoption, through faith in Christ. If you believe in Christ, received his forgiveness, received his salvation, you are a child of God. We're not just saved from sin. We actually become somebody new, a new creation, a child of God. This idea of adoption is the act where God makes us a part of his family. Isn't that cool? The idea of adoption during Jesus' day was the idea of actually a child becoming a part of a family, and the goal really was to perpetuate, to continue the name and the reputation of the family, of the father. The character and integrity of the Father. That was kind of the goal of many families, to continue that. And really, that's what we're called to do as well. We're called to live as children of God and to show the character of our Father. Verse 15 says, we're no longer slaves to fear. There's a great new song that's on Christian radio talking about that. But rather, we are children of God. And God is looking for children to have a real relationship with him. Not a religious experience, not just coming to church, but a relationship. And he's the one who makes us whole. He's the one who can help you with those temptations, help us with that fight for integrity. And we see here in this passage of Romans 8, the intimacy, the honesty of a relationship with God. And it is a privilege. It's a privilege to be a child of God, to be able to speak to God, to relate to him as our Father, our Heavenly Father. Here's a question for each one of you. Do you have that kind of relationship? Are you a child of God? Have you been adopted? Have you received Christ? As Romans 6 or 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Do you have that? Many of us do. I hope you all do. But many of us have that relationship with God, but then for some of us, we're in a place in life where we wonder, well, why don't I have this kind of relationship that's close and personal like you're talking about? I'm not sure. I'm not experiencing that. Why? I used to, maybe, but I'm not now. Why don't I feel closer? Kind of reminds me of this couple that was driving home from their anniversary. They went out for dinner, anniversary, and husband and wife were in the car, and the wife was kind of sitting over on her side next to the window, and of course the husband was driving, and the wife kind of looked at her husband with a little bit of ache. She said, honey, remember when we used to sit closer to each other? And without hesitation, he replied, well, honey, I've never moved. I've been here the whole time. Right? That's kind of God. With us and God, we've kind of moved away because of our sin, because of our own selfishness, right? But God is right there. One last passage, James 4, 7 and 8 says how we can draw closer. This is the solution. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. Resist temptation. He will flee from you. Come near. Come near to God and he will come near to you. I know that for me personally, to win the fight of integrity, I must always remember whose I am. I'm a child of God, but I also must always submit over and over and over again to God. It's a daily thing. And as much as we're surrounded and influenced by all the stuff around us, by social media and technology, we need to be constantly reminded of who we are. That you are children of God, and that you live in the grace, not condemnation, grace of Christ and the wholeness that Christ has given to us. Let me share one last quote from Beyond the Battle. Pastor Noah Filipiak shares this. He says, sexual purity will never be possible unless the grace of Jesus has transformed you. Unless the grace of Jesus has transformed you and the power of your spirit lives inside you. The path of sexual purity is a path of following Jesus as your king. Willpower is not going to do it. You may have some good success. Tools will not do it. You may have some success, but chances are you're going to fall back unless you're truly following Jesus. The fight for integrity is a battle, okay? It's going to be a battle, I think, for the rest of our lives. But Christ can make us whole. Christ can help us to be victorious. And also know that when you fail, you're not under condemnation. He says, come back to me, submit to me, resist the devil, come draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I will forgive you. I'm here to help. I've gone through these battles, okay? We all have, I think, in one way or another. So man, don't be embarrassed. I mean, we are embarrassed, but don't be embarrassed by this, but rather seek out. If you need some help, seek it out. I'm here. Women, don't not get help if you need it. Don't not ask for accountability or encouragement. Talk to someone. Talk to my wife. Talk to one of your close friends. Chances are they're probably struggling with some of the same things you do. With Christ, we can more and more win this fight for integrity. It's something that we need to win more and more. Let's fight this battle. Amen?